The Turkish Shug, Fanny Mambo, this New Year's Eve, the 31st of December, 1970. Channel 1 right, Channel 1 right, Channel 1 right, with Cookie, Shug, Fami, Mamu, this New Year's Eve, the 31st of December, 1970. Channel 1 right, Channel 1 right, Channel 1 right on this Rio 532.
You're in it for money, but you're in it for more than just money. You enjoy.
I love
it. See, you enjoy the you wouldn't have any fun just dealing with one person. It's the game of finding this and this and this and this that works.
What's wrong with Sugar's proposition? What was that? State Farm would have a fleet? Is that what you said?
No, I was talking about where they had wrecks. And go and bid on the wreck. And he said that the trouble on that was that he wasn't in the bodybuilding business. And he's right.
I don't know nothing about body work.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the cheap damage is done on those things.
On that kind of way.
See, I bid on, when did I bid on that car and truck and boat and motor and all that junk, right?
No,
money?
You bid on that. You bid on two at the time.
When did I make my last bid?
Monday
morning. Yes, Monday morning.
Frank, you're going to be
Wednesday
a trader too?
No, I didn't make no bid Wednesday. He said I did, but I didn't.
Well, you talked to him Wednesday.
I talked to him Wednesday, yeah. I bid on a 65 Chevrolet truck and a 65 Pontiac car and an old boat and a motor and a trailer and oh, a whole big bunch of stuff, man.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I may get it yet. Because I got the man in the doghouse. And the door shut.
Now, you know, Lusk Motor Company there in Knoxville. Mm-hmm. They are body people primarily. And they buy lots of stuff from insurance companies that way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, reliable body work down where I got my car painted. They buy a lot from insurance companies.
Mm-hmm. That's a different deal altogether.
Oh, yeah, that's a different deal. That's right. They deal generally in the higher price stuff, too.
It's just different.
They'll have from what they predict to get is 68, 69, 70 stuff and fix it up and the way it goes for just a little bit less than what a new one can go for when they get it ready to go.
Yeah, this old this boat, 18-foot boat. 75 horse Mercury motor, outboard motor on. And 65 Pontiac, it would, it'd take about $200 to fix it up. It'd be a $9.95 item. And a 65 Chevrolet pickup, but, take about $45 to fix it. And it'd be a $7.95 item.
And you think you might get it?
Yeah.
Cookie, you got arrangements with a bank to take care of your financing whenever you get into that 775, 995 deal. They're usually glad to get paper like that. They get a fairly good down payment.
Yeah.
How much are they supposed to make? How much they make on it?
The bank?
Mm-hmm.
Or at present time, they charge about 8% flat on it, which is about 15.
Yeah, just about that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
You pay it back by installments, you see.
Yeah, but you pay your interest on the whole thing.
That's right. That's right. It makes it just about double when you do it that way. Mm-hmm.
I bid 4.25 on.
Well, now, what's the doghouse you got them in, too?
What sort of doghouse I got them in? These cars, this car, truck, and the boat, sitting over here at this man's house. Okay. He's going to sell them to me individually for $510. He thinks. Okay. I called down here at the bank. I asked Dave Hunt. I said, Dave, is that legal for me to buy from him when you got the paper on the three different items? He said, no, sir. What will you give for them? I said, he's asking me $510. You can get them cheaper than that, he said. What will you give for them? I said, I'll give you four and a quarter for the whole lot. But I said, I'll let you know.
Mm-hmm. And the fellow's two or three payments behind.
No. No, this fellow that's got them out here, his brother owned them. And his brother skips the country.
Oh.
Okay. I tell Dave Hunt how much money I pay him for them three different items. Now Dave Hunt goes and tells this man over here, now look, you've got to come up with $475 or you can't have them. Well, this old boy over here that's holding them says, no, I won't pay that much money.
Cookie, how'd you find out that Dave Hunt had paper on it?
How did I don't know, but something told me to call the Citizens Bank.
You told him to call Citizens Bank.
Because I knew the previous owner of Howard Motors put all of his vehicles through Citizens Bank.
Mm-hmm.
If he didn't carry them himself, he had them financed through the Citizens Bank. Well, I knew by these three items sitting over here that there had to be some strings attached or they'd done been sold.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fellow that's got them now, Leonard Rose, he's as crooked as a barrel of fish hooks. And if he could have got a dime out of them and had the paper on them, he'd have done sold them.
He just had an option, didn't he? That's all he had.
So I called Dave, and Dave said, no, sir, don't you bother him, don't you touch him. You got a bid of $425 on it. He said, I've done sealed it in an envelope and put it in the drawer.
You just may get that, because probably, how many bids is he going to have to have?
Three.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know what Leonard Rose's bid is. His bid's $400. Well, he was going to sell me the whole lump for $510.
And that wouldn't have been a bad buy, would it?
No, but I was suspicious, see. I could have made some money off of him at $510.
Made more money off of
them
before, of course.
Yeah, I love
that. But I didn't want to buy a pig in the poke. I didn't want to buy them from Leonard Rose and then have to wait 6-7 weeks for the paperwork to come back from Tallahassee, because what they'd had to done, they'd had to put them in Leonard's name. Then Leonard would have to wait for the paperwork to come back from Tallahassee. Then Leonard could have transferred them over to me. Then I'd have been holding a bag for 6 weeks with $510 tied up. Whereas if I go ahead and get them now, I will get open paper on them.
Well, what's he so crooked about, Cookie?
Oh, God, that's too long a story to get into. Lord, I've known him. I've known him since he beat me out of a milk bill.
When you was peddling milk?
When I was peddling milk. And I guess he beat everybody else that he's had dealings with since.
What, how did he beat you?
He just wouldn't pay me. You set the milk on the doorstep to drink the milk up, and he, you can't get no money.
Can't get it back. Either.
You can't get your milk back.
Well, that's what the little gas man said. Once they get the gas out there and burn it up, you can get your cylinders, but you can't get the gas.
That's right.
And that's that same old thing.
Yeah, you might get the empty paper carton back, but you can't get the milk.
But now on that little Volkswagen, you don't get many of those. You can't get a hold of them.
Uh-uh. No, but he don't know it, see.
It looks like you ought to be able to, that's not available.
But I got two engines sitting in the shop now.
They will wear out, the bodies will, every once in a while before the engine does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, once in a while.
Well, now, all these dealers like Pontiac and all, they'll have cars that they'll wholesale off to you. But the folks like you, nothing?
I never did hear tell of Volkswagen or wholesaling a Volkswagen. Now, they'll wholesale American-made cars. Oh. Volkswagen place will.
Oh.
But I have yet to hear them wholesaling a Volkswagen.
Not enough difference in changing models. They can go right on.
That's right.
Buy them as long as they run.
Not buying any foreign cars.
Mm-hmm. Is that right? But he burnt it out in the brush down there.
Yeah.
Just pulling that how do you say that?
Yeah.
Pulling that dust and sand right up in the back of that engine.
Mm-hmm. That's where it breathes. That's where it gets the air.
That's where it gets its air to cool it with.
And you wouldn't, there's nothing there to work on in that old engine.
I'd be afraid to attempt it.
I kind of lost the time on this. When did you say this to him in the first place?
Beginning of the hunting season.
Just to
this year.
Yeah.
I mean, just
recently. It ain't been what, 6 weeks ago?
6 weeks. So he really hadn't enjoyed his Volkswagen.
He got his money worth out of it. If he bought it to hunt in, that's all he wanted to do. If he's running it every day through them scrubs. He's got no complaint of coming.
Oh, you mean it lasted? I thought you meant he burned it out right then.
Of course, no. He just burned out week before last.
So he's had most of the hunting season,
most
really.
Most of the hunting season, yeah.
So you didn't sell him a pig in a poke,
no,
really?
No, but it was so dirty and filthy. I mean, and the floor rusted out and all. I couldn't show it to anybody in daylight.
But as far as the engine was concerned, you had done a real good job on that.
That's right, we did.
Well,
me and Frank put the engine together.
Well, he did a good job.
It was running.
Helen's going to beat you up.
See, what time did you go to work, Frank?
9:30.
9:30?
Oh, Lord.
Quarter
to
nine now.
Oh, quarter
to nine. I see. I drove from Jackson.
No, I don't want you flying over there.
That old blacktop. Oh, you go the other way.
You've got to go home first, then.
That Rochelle Road is not very easy.
Oh, it's smooth. You can clip right along 75.
Well, they've got that new Cross Creek Road to them, but it's dark.
Yeah, it's dark.
Can't tell when you're on the side,
yeah.
Yeah.
If you get off of
them, you sure will. We can't do that like that. Well, I'd hate to get Helen mad at me. She's too nice a gal.
Well, now, what's tomorrow? Friday?
Tomorrow's Friday.
And you going to put in the day down to Stephen?
Part of the day, I've got to. I just got so much work to do, I can't say no.
Yeah. Oh. Well, you won't have to keep open.
When I get caught up, I'll close up.
Yeah.
You just close up when you want to?
Cookie, you getting a good standard market price for your work?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's the thing to do.
I don't do nothing for nobody, much for nothing.
And furthermore, he gets the money.
That is the important thing.
And sure, here's the thing that's happened. When he's working out that Hawthorne, he couldn't get any money.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can hold that car there and they pay you.
He could have been Hawthorne, too.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out, did it?
Well, you know how it is. Around your friends, where you're raised and all, it's kind of hard to deal with people that way.
Oh, yeah. And you know your friends will beat you quicker than
that. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
They won't be business-like, will they?
Frank, you going to do the same work like your daddy?
It's kind of fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's fun. You'll be a trainer like his. I'll be a good pair.
I'll tell you what.
He's a good one. He works, too, on his cars.
I just tell you what now, laying all jokes aside, I wouldn't give this past year or past 11 months of my life for any 2 years that I've ever spent.
Cured those ulcers in a hurry, didn't you?
No, sir. I've created a worse headache.
You've created a worse
headache. Fun doing it.
But I've had so much fun doing it. Just like that.
Well,
just like when I figured that Ford truck off.
Yeah.
You know, that built me up higher than anything I've done in a long time.
Oh, yeah, he had.
That poor truck, he gets stuck on.
Yeah.
We but don't seeing remember. White lightning go for $95 would make me feel good.
Well, the way he traded around, he got
okay.
All right.
I took that Ford truck.
Now, this was a beautiful Ford truck.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah.
I took it to West Virginia and brought my big horses back. I had less than $600 in them.
He not only took his horses, brought his horses back, he had his cargo up there, too.
I had my whole family.
He had his own Noah's Ark, you see.
His own family.
Yeah.
And the whole family.
Yeah.
And
then pulled the trailer.
Pulled the horse trailer. Pulled it up there and then pulled it back. Loaded.
The trailer.
Loaded. Loaded almost enough.
Yeah, I understand.
Had five flat tires.
Oh, well.
Yeah, that was just a bad.
That was
road.
A bad judgment now.
Yeah.
But,
them big trucks had
beat
eat
the
up that road.
Yeah.
And I was loaded so heavy that it just busted the car. I had new tires, but they just busted. But, I brought it back down here and I run it. Crossed about a month, about 5 weeks ago. Yeah, about 5 weeks ago. I fell in love with it. He had a 59 Chevrolet station wagon, V8, automatic. Oh, it looked terrible when I first traded for it. And he asked me, he said, how are you trading? I said, I'll take $750 and call it. He said, about a couple of days, he said, I'm going to trade with you on that truck. That's okay. I pulled the title out of my pocket and laid it on the bench, and he pulled the title to his old Chevrolet out and laid it on the bench, and $750. That's it. I cleaned the old 59 Chevrolet up. And plus, you didn't get to see it more than once, did you?
Just once, when you were trying to get the window to work.
Yeah, I tried to get the back window to work.
Back window to work.
I got it to work, though.
Did you get it to work?
Yeah.
I thought he took it the way it was.
No, I got to work before I quit that day.
Yeah?
Yeah, I got to work. And this old boy come in the 54 Chevrolet. And it was running on its last legs, he thought. Oh, it was crippling along awful. And he said, I guess I'm going to have to sell you this car. And I said, well, I'll buy it. I said, I've got a 59 Chevrolet station wagon, I'll trade you. He said, how will you trade with me? And out of the blue moon, I said, I'll take $175 and trade with you. He said, can I drive it? I said, yeah, take it and drive it. Take it home with you. Show your wife. Okay. That was on Saturday. Friday evening, late. The credit union done closed over campus. He said, I can't get in the credit union until Monday morning. But he said, I'll trade with you Monday morning. I said, okay. I drove the old car on home and piddled around with it there and hauled some feed and hauled the trash off. Didn't have no truck. I used it for a truck anymore. Took it back in Monday morning. I didn't get that thing parked because here he come.
He's hurting.
He was hurting. Him and that old Chevrolet just crippling along there. Okay. He came in. He said, here's your money. And here's the old Chevrolet. I said, well, here's the title to that 59. I hope you have a good trip. I ain't saw it for one time since. But all I did was run out. And he didn't ask me what was wrong. That's another one didn't ask me what was wrong with his car. He just said it was crippled. All I done was set the time on it, and I just drove the fool out of it.
Okay.
Sold it for $100 bill. Got $75 in Jack Stokes for funny.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jack Stokes.
Oh, Jack
Stokes.
Three cars. So that Ford truck really brought you some money, didn't it?
I got $1,025 out of that Ford truck.
Goodness.
You ought to keep books on it sometimes.
He keeps books all the time.
Has to.
He's got him in his head.
Yeah, this is right.
No.
And he retraced the cases.
too, me?
Yeah, the lineage and the biography of everything you've traded for the last 10 years.
Look, if you don't keep no books, can't nobody check them.
Oh, that's right.
They can't check you in the head, can they?
Look at how many miles that 59 Cadillac got on it.
80,000 miles.
Is that all?
That's it. Lars, 60 miles.
Let him go, honey. This boy's out here trying to go.
And when you go to Las Vegas and get that $5,000, we'll celebrate.
We'll all celebrate.
Man.
Happy New Year.
How that
guy? We'll celebrate.
Yeah. We'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
Bye.
All right. Happy New Year, Frank.
Guess we got to wash the dishes, haven't we?
No, I just drank
some juice. Damn. Yeah, I bet you saw it in the year.
Did anything happen in there?
Now, let me tell you. JJ has no idea of what goes on. He was his boss, and they didn't get along.
Now, who's JJ?
He had no idea what went on in Cookie's head or what he did when he went to West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And Cookie just, he's down there, keeps that place open all the time. But up there working for JJ, He leaned against the car a good part of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he's tired. And he hadn't done anything.
Difference.
But he wore out.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And he's not lazy. The last thing Cookie would say, you know, you'd say is he's lazy.
Now that's the difference between an entrepreneur and not.
Now that's, I'm talking about your businessman now. And he's bright. JJ's a bright fella.
Yeah.
He's enterprising. And he's not lazy in any way, is he, Faye?
Mm-mm. He's one of the best, I understand.
I don't think he knows anything about any of the people that work there.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I have is that we've been able to talk to Cookie.
Well, I think that he lacks a sense of motivation on his employees. What I mean by that is, if they had a participation in profits or some other reason for not leaning against the car, why they might take a different attitude.
Well, the other people, a lot of the other people, he get along fine. Alvin, you see, does fine. But I don't think they know anything about the people that work for him.
Well, Cookie,
no.
He's got this.
I don't think, you see, I don't have much evidence going. I'm stretching my evidence. And I, you know, like Francis, I said to you a while ago, what you, all those things you said, you see, about Mr. Johnny and Marinelle, that's ancient history. She's a child. All of that's just a child's recollection. And you don't know people. You just don't have access to anybody. Now, I was just saying, what that example I give you, if I could talk to who was that?
Miss Francis?
Yeah. Miss Francis over here. He's 80 years old, and his daddy was 80 when he died. And he took it over the store. And my feeling was, from talking to him, from hearing other people talk about him, that that's his choice. He just shouldn't be doing that as anything else. And he was just, he was as watchful of the price he set on those things now as he ever was. And he's got plenty, he don't have to work, you know. But I was wrong. Florence reported on him one time, and I told her that I wasn't interested in him. I wish she wouldn't talk, but she got that persistence about her. Once she gets something on her mind, she just goes ahead and talks. And he had taken a trip west. out west. And he called on a little girl that I knew, and I thought, I just out there who used to come in there and visit with him. And he had a he had a big time out west. And he wasn't in any hurry to get back. And what fine store was, he could just walk off and leave that store. And I don't know I don't learn anything from the young students. They never talk sense. They don't have any sense to talk. I'm a little hard on them. I'm overstated. Yeah. You have to allow me that. But I get very, very little information. Now, one of them came out here and ate for an hour, and I taped him. He came out here to talk about the WRUF. He works there. He runs the station a good part of the time. And he just sat there and talked. I taped it, and I studied it afterwards. He knew when I taped it. He got no idea what's going on. It's just a sort of a boy's game with him. There's no critical view of anything. And he's nice. He's a nice fella. He's one of the best. Well, I don't know. I got off on a tangent something. But what it's hard to know anything about anybody. It's all superficial. They just
they're superficial to a certain extent. But there are certain people who are in management positions that do know their men well enough to work out a very cohesive organization that gets things done.
Yeah.
They do understand that much about them.
Well, they understand management.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
no but idea. They leave the man out.
Yeah, this is what I wanted to know. How many, really, say superintendents of a big garage like Brazenton's apparently is, I don't know Brazenton's, but say
well,
you.
Well, it's beautiful, you know.
Yeah, okay.
They've got nice people working.
Okay,
up there.
The man at the top.
Yeah.
The man at the top. This may be just a garage, but he may sell Cadillacs on the side too. I don't know. He's up there, and he turns over, say, to the superintendent of the repair part back here where Cookie was.
Oh, they are all up and down. They don't sit in an office. They all circulate. It's not
okay. Good. He knows Cookie as an extremely good mechanic. He knows JB, he knows Jack, and he knows all of these people as being particularly good, and one will be good on time and one will be good on that. But how much would he really know about the entrepreneur of Cookie individually? That Cookie is not happy unless he's running his own little particular show. How much can he or should he know about the individual outside of the hours he spends in his shop? This is a real sad thing about people.
Francis, all he's got to do is talk to him.
It won't come out that same way.
He would have been a wonderful used car salesman for him. Cookie would have. That kind of trade. That
yeah.
Trading boy.
The tragedy is the loss. You know,
right.
That Cookie's had all this long time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but this happens every day, and this is a tragic thing. That
it's
and
a
then,
square peg in the round hole.
But again,
same idea.
Again, this also gets back to how many businesses, managements and businesses, can afford to be almost what you call babysitters. For this person will work wonderfully if he is allowed to do so much on his own, so much under supervision, so many days a week, so many. How can you manage him individually this way on a clock punching time kind of job?
Yeah.
See, how much can you know how to get the best out of this particular individual?
The best managers, of course, do take time to interview and to talk and to retalk to their employees.
It'd take a long time to pull out the intricacies of what makes Cookie tick to keep him happy on the job, allowing him some of this trading. He might be trading with among his fellow men up and down the You know,
I don't know. I don't know, Francis. Bill knows Cookie. Alvin knows Cookie.
I bet you ought to tape them on Cookie, and you come out with a different Cookie altogether than the one you know.
Yeah. But, I don't know. There may be a sort of a layer there where they don't know them. You see, Cookie goes to this little Windsor Baptist Church, and JJ goes to the First Methodist Church, and is president of the men's club of the couple plant. So, I don't know.
Well, JJ knew that Cookie had a problem, but he didn't, you know, this was all. He either had to produce or he let him go.
Eventually. But he wasn't hard on him.
He wasn't hard on him.
He was wrong.
This is what I say. Yeah. Where does the management get to be the nursemaid of the problems than in here?
And he's been trying to get him back because he can't get anybody as good as
him. Let me say, Cookie almost died over there.
Uh-huh.
He got pains in his head.
Mm-hmm. He's come to me.
And he, if he'd been a place, he would have. Mm-hmm. And he went to all the doctors and the hospitals. He stayed a week or two over in the veterans hospital, and they gave him all sorts of tests. And
I thought he was an alcoholic.
They had, you know, all sorts of serious symptoms, and they sent him to a neurologist. No. And all he was wearing himself there, the pressure on him. And his head hurt so he couldn't set up.
This is one of our first questions.
Yes, he thought there was a tumor.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
We were here before.
Yeah. And he'll tell you all the symptoms. He'll tell you about it. You know, it's no secret.
Now, when they get sick and this kind of thing, at a center like ours, sometimes you talk to the employer.
Yeah.
Or you have them come in. Is there some way that something could be changed here? Or advise this guy to get another job when you ferret out a lot of things. But so many times it is a matter of a mile adjustment, a little more freedom
mm-hmm.
for him to work the way he could work better. But in Cookie's case, you know, you would hate to see Cookie ever on an assembly line where he would have to put out by 4 o'clock this afternoon, something, because if a trade came up, you see, he should be free bird to go and to be Cookie to be do that. But he may not make a living for long. I mean, for whatever.
I say this. Mr. Ben Morton, who used to live right next to us there, I had a lot of good talks. I listened to him talk, and I learned a whole lot. He started out as a young man with nothing. His father was a country doctor over in Blount County, and he came to Norfolk and went to a business school. That was his education, his business school. And he got a job on a little dummy line, a streetcar line from Chilhowie Park up to Norfolk. And then he began to move along. He kept books on himself, single entry for 2 years, 1898 to 1900, and then from 1900 on until right up close to the time he died, he kept a double entry set of books on his personal dealings all the way through. But he said that the reason that he had succeeded in business was that he found fairly early in his business career that he was just running from here to there and everywhere, not getting anything done. He was busy in the coal business, and he was busy in the wholesale grocery business. Those are the two lines that he first was interested in primarily. He said, one night I just figured it out. And he said, since that time, the good Lord's been good to me in picking good young men. And what he did was to pick young men. And when I say pick them, he wouldn't go out here and get a man on the outside and bring him in unless that man just happened to fit it real well. He said that you better watch out in an organization. The man maybe the lowest down has got his eye on that top job in there. And if you're a good manager and you see that and give him every chance he has, he may make you the best manager that you could possibly have. And he worked his men that way. And all of them would participate. And he made lots of men. Joe Anderson, who was a big bank president there in Knoxville. Wayne Longmire, who was the president of Security Mills. And Frank Tucker. Frank Tucker didn't have over about a fifth grade education. But he's well read, had lots of native intelligence, and is a multimillionaire himself now. And he made those fellows by giving them proper advice. He had an office uptown, and his job was to go around to these different businesses and listen to those boys and hear their problems and discuss them with them and let them work them out with a little guidance from him. And that was his plan. And he had 15 or 20 corporations, the different ones that way. H.D. Hackney Company, Gale and Smith Company, Riverside Lumber Company, Manufacturers Acceptance Corporation, and the Old East Tennessee Bank before it became a Park Bank later on. And he just had a whole oodle of them that way. And that's the way he operated. So there is something in management that way where they do find out what the people have in them and give them a chance to work it out.
Well, you don't have to do everything like this. Did you notice one thing, Francis? There towards the end, Cookie's got his voice just a little bit. But mostly he was nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cookie is a performer. And all he needs to do is to be let alone with just the very slightest, just very slightest touches. Now, you see, I carried it just as far as I could to get you to quit cutting in on him. And you see, he took over. Now, if he'd had just a little bit more, well, he was getting that way, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't ready to go home.
No.
But you got a Cookie. That's one of the things I run taping. Cookie is a performer.
He's
yeah.
an artist.
Yeah.
His timing is absolutely perfect if you just don't push him.
And
let him
yes,
take it.
Yes.
Yeah, I noticed
now
that.
He's one of the few men who has a feeling for that pause and the leisure. And he don't lose time.
And he doesn't lose his trend of thought either.
Oh, no,
He'll come back and ask you a question while he's grouping his thoughts.
Yes, you can see it.
Yeah.
Now, he talks better. He talks better, or it's just shameful, Faye. I don't know anybody who talks as well as Cookie. When you give him a chance and he gets his voice. He and Miss Daisy.
It's true.
Everybody else is nervous.
Yeah.
And you see, people that have responsibility and have the know-how and all like that, actually don't know how. They know just a limited amount. And they don't have the categories to find out. They got no way to cut in and find out, and they're afraid of this position of doubt. They are deathly afraid of it. They won't face it. Now, that's all I know is what I've learned from the tape, you know, with the background. But that burned tape has just, you see, I can listen, I can study this tape now, and I can understand it six times better than what, you know, just listening. So, you know, you got to sort of run and start. It's not my acumen, you see. I've never had that.
Plus time, like a book, you got to go back and read it second, third time.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah. And of course, all this is just in the light of one deal.
And of course, you see, and Cookie has no notion, you know, of why we listen to him. But that doesn't matter. He knows we take him.
Oh, sure.
But that doesn't matter. You see, we like Cookie personally. You know, we enjoy him. And he doesn't have this kind of audience anywhere else he goes.
No.
He eats at our table and he'll say, "Say, I'm just tired. I'm going to come out there tonight. And I'll come ahead." This is a kind of oasis for him.
And of course, it's a tremendous ego thing for him.
Well, you put him on the spot.
Yeah.
We have a pinch.
But he has the foggiest notion. Of course, he thinks he can't move out here without him, you know, because of the mechanics.
Yeah.
But he has the foggiest notion of why we put up with all the awful things that he does. Because
that's
he doesn't
right.
ever
that's
do anything
right.
that he says he'll do. But this isn't here nor there.
No, we just got one angle of that. I mean, it's...
Talking a little while to Daisy this afternoon, we found out she certainly does rely on you all for a lot.
Isn't she the cutest? Isn't she? Don't you just want to put her in a package and take her with you? Isn't she the cutest?
Just making about having tea with you.
Yeah.
Coming down.
She
talks. Does I go down once or twice every week?
Sometimes twice, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I just
we drink. Coffee, eat cake.
Now, Francis, you see, you didn't learn that about the colored people when you're growing up.
No, I didn't.
Oh, we didn't treat them that way then.
Well, I did too.
What?
They used to lecture and do me just like they talk. Miss Daisy's talking to y'all.
Which one did you know?
Little Bell, you set me down on the. On the steps down there with now I can don't go get that thing turned over because I can't tell you what she told me. Me and James and Mary, she thought she was rearing me along as good as you were.
Little Bell. I remember Little Bell.
You may not.
Well, I won't tell y'all one thing. Now, we can sit here and talk as long as we please. But before I sleep tonight, I'm going to open those little gifts.
You better get it. New Year's.
It's New Year's.
That's a good
Francis,
idea.
I'll go open the gifts with you if you'll tell me about Lula Bell.
Well, I said don't ask me because I can't remember what Lula Bell said except I can see her.
You see, I never push you.
No, never.
Never.
I've never been manipulated in this house. Never.
Never been pushed.
Just like he doesn't push Cookie either.
No, just let it be. As long as he's running the show, this is the way you direct it. Don't let anybody else. Well, I'll do it. Because I know how to get the drama out of it.
Lord, yes.
And you've got a studied performance when you're doing this way.
Yeah.
You see, it isn't more natural than anything. The only natural tape you've ever got on Cookie is the first one you ever got, and I better make a long one. Now, it may not be a good tape, you know, but it would be natural. But this is set up. You set him up every time. He knows he's been set up, and he follows your direction, and that ain't natural, but it's good tape, and it serves your purpose.
As Guy said, he's a good performer.
And he cooks the cue. And if he hadn't got it, he'll make it up.
That's right.
And you can just discount about half of this, what he's telling you. Because he'll make a good story out of it and look you straight in the face and do his little mannerisms. And Frank's doing the same thing. And this is not going to be the same Cookie that Bucky or any of the other guys that knows him around here will tell you about. Nor J.J. Brazen tonight, this year. But it's a darling one for you all, and he's
just
wonderful.
This is the way
wonderful.
He talks at the station.
Well, I'm sure he does.
Maybe
you
just
all.
To us, right?
And he'll have this same type thing for everybody. But when he's sitting here at this table, he knows he's set up for a gala evening of his performance.
Yeah. And you all, we started out with you all right here.
Yes, sir. And nobody could speak until the stage was set. And see, it wasn't at all natural. It had to come set and directed.
But you don't get.
Well,
this
is what
you
I say.
Direction.
This is what I say. If you want something to study later, then this is it. But the fun and natural of it just pouring out as he might spontaneously say it. Saying that.
Francis, let me tell you, that's right tonight. But I had to cut out all of you all, and give Cookie a little self-possession. And when he talked
usually
here
before, usually Guy doesn't say anything.
When he talked here before, I directed him tonight. At least I ran interference for him. And you're right in what you say. But I was just doing that tonight. Whenever he talks out here, I follow his cue.
Well, maybe.
I see, we'd been over all this before.
Yeah.
That's why we were setting this up.
And it's never just the second time.
I was sure it was, because you wanted to get some reason that I don't know what you want.
Now, I'd let you go with that, except I want you to have a get it straight.
Yeah.
And that's not straight, what you said. It's straight about this tonight.
But an ordinary setup. But he is pretty sure of a real sympathetic audience for his kind of trading, because you've made a lot out of it. You've been to, you've heard it before.
Mm-hmm.
So he can rely on you all being a good audience for whatever he wants to tell you about it, in the way he wants to tell you.
Well, I don't like your restatement of it. And furthermore, I'll open it up for you, and I'll follow you. I won't direct you.
Well, you have to direct me, because I can't get over, and you see, you have a hard time even doing that.
No. I just go along with you.
But now this is a natural with Cookie, as you said, we did, because I hadn't heard his trip to Georgia. That's what we told him. Don't tell us now. Wait until when the family comes, because we want to hear it.
That's
he said,
right.
"Oh, I got
That's
a
right.
good one to tell you."
That's right.
This story.
He got it.
Yeah. What do you? He wanted to tell about gypped on the blind horse.
Yeah.
That's what he wanted.
That's right.
yeah. Well, these are prior stories, and you do like to retell them. It's the same thing you do.
No. Let me tell you. Now here's one thing. See, we were talking about you. I don't know how you do it at home, but when you talking down here, you bring in those experiences pretty well, like the lady who made the hamburgers and not appreciated. Now that's pretty much so. But you see, you don't even come close to Cookie. You're going to remake the institution, and you're combating the it's brainwork. And Cookie stays within the experience. And the only thing I do is you see, your experience is like Cookie's. You can talk from it. Except you talk better than Cookie. It just sort of, gets you.
Mother, you're so cute.
But now,
if he did it honest, he wouldn't admit it.
Actually, I don't know much about Blossom. I would love to hear, somebody who knows and worked with her. I just appreciate it to hear somebody. But you signed off of that. We just lightly brought it up, and I said, "Faye, you made contact with somebody." Well, anyhow, just experience. That's all. Just experience.
But I think the first time we ever realized that Cookie, now he talks your way. We know we've talked all this. He'll have these little things. But at the same time, it's that light that he gets when he's made a trade that is.
Oh, it's just a crime to waste, on a single life. This for the soul. Mm.
He's just so alive. And he loves to tell us.
Now you see, the one thing I've learned about it is stay away from opinions, that they're meaningless. And classification, which is also meaningless, absolutely meaningless. It's labeling people with the barest understanding.
What are we doing? We're taking him at his word if he wouldn't take this year from any two in his life.
Well, that's just a minor statement. I was saying about your having to use that form, you see. Write down people's symptoms, and where just a little of the experience, if you kind of open it up for them, let them. I think, I don't know. I've never talked to people like that.
Wonder if ever there can be business is one, you know, where you know this much about the people that work with you and the experiences and you know.
Well, guy has a whole lot of what he has to say, but yet in businesses, what you're saying is keep out as much as you can judgmental.
Sugar, what I'm trying to say is just within my observation, see, I've not been in the business. You see, I've not got into that side of it. I've tried to get their common talk as spontaneous.
That's good.
And use their experience, and I never sound out their ideas.
Now, what about you? Let's get back to now. There was something when you first made your statement about he was Brazenton and Cookie, and they couldn't get along. And Cookie no longer has that nice good job or something. Mm-hmm. Now, what was the point of all this?
Cookie just muffed it. He
just leaned against his car and didn't work up there for Brazenton.
No, he's just a misfit.
Yeah.
And JJ leaned over backwards. Did everything he could.
Paid him when he went there?
He did everything he could, but...
To help him.
No, but to find out why he was leaning up against the car.
That's right.
He had no conception of
it. See, this is what you're trying to say, and this is the way I get when I say labeling.
Yeah.
He wouldn't try to see why.
He doesn't know how. And all I know how is what I've learned from the tape. And it's only just a little, you know, just a little corner that I've peeped into.
I think this is the thing that we've been trying to say all this long time. Is that in the institution, there is somewhere another along the line, the humaneness has been left out, which is what makes this particular individual tick back here on this assembly line. You know, and then on the defense of the institution, the management has got time, you know. But in the long run, it would save itself money, lack of absenteeism, and better jobs if they would take time. So here's where maybe a social service, not in a garage, but as such. But how much do you know, when you were running your office of 10 girls and 17 men, did you know outside of their forms put in front of you and this, and their 8 to 4, how much did you know about whether they were happy in the work, why they were crying today, or why they weren't really?
I didn't know enough, and I didn't take time enough, because I was busy selling and trying to look after
the
money coming
in.
But I want to say this, that Carl Bennett, who has followed me on that, has taken time, and he has interviews with the different ones, especially with the girls. Now, he's not as good a manager of men as he might be, but he's a fine manager of the office.
But some store, something like Miller's, had to put in a personnel management. But her title is really industrial psychologist for this very thing. When there is a block back here in the assembly line of Cookie leaning against it, then some way the word gets up that Cookie's not getting along with management, something like that, then she brings him in and they talk it up. So there is some thinking in this very thing. But as far as JJ, you know, as you say, he may not have gotten to this place yet of knowing how to find out what was wrong back there with Cookie crying.
I expect there was a great gap of lack of communication between the two of them.
Well, this is it. And here he thought...
And both of them are communicating men.
That's right.
Yeah. Both of them are just
that's
verbal.
That's right, but they're out this way. Communicating in different directions.
I from what I've seen here, you know, the categories, I keep saying the categories. Now, don't you know, I remember one of those things that Papa used to speak well of himself, and he, especially of his driving, and he made that extraordinary turn across the traffic one time, and came up the driveway, and I forget what happened, it was embarrassing. And as he related it, he said, "If I made that mistake, if I may be said to make a mistake," and he meant that.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have seen that in all these tapes, Mr. Eastman, Mr. Mac Weaver, and Willie Chitty, and well, I could just name them all. Now, I've got no, you see, I don't care for big birds. I just give it this little name in Beowulf. They have this, in the, it's an epic, and they have this set piece. It's the warrior, before he, as he goes into combat, he'll rear back and boast. He just really opens up.
Pumping himself.
And boasts. So I just say that's his boast. Well, until I got into the tapes, I thought they were all just bragging. But that's not it. It's a part of it. There's no telling what it is, and nobody ought to diagnose things. You just get what symptoms you can and turn it loose. Otherwise, you're going to rewrite Freud. And
but suppose that person's an employee, you've got to do a little bit of diagnosing. In other words, he lost the cookie. Where if he had put some of those symptoms together, he might not have lost it.
I'm trying not to be too specific, so you see, all mine is sort of open. And you see what it is, and I don't know what you should make of it, except that it's enabled me to get along with Cookie. And if he's the first one of the countryside that we've ever been able to get along with. Over a month, say.
Yeah.
We'd get along with them fine, but then first thing you know, they wouldn't show up. That'd be the end of it.
Well, and two, you see, Cookie has got us in more trouble. If we just wanted to look at it that
way.
Yeah. Cost
us money.
He's got us into trouble by saying he's going to do something and won't do it.
He gets me to working for him.
Guy works for him.
Yeah. He's going into the hay with me, but I do that work.
He never even showed up. But you see, there you are. We in the tape, we can say, well, you know, Cookie just couldn't help it.
Yeah.
He just. Well, now, if we knew everybody that well, see what happened.
Well, he's
You'd be doing everybody's work,
he sure would.
Doing everybody's work. But
well, you see, I haven't labeled him, and it's just so you get those insights.
It's I label too many people, I know that.
Well,
it's easy to do.
Yes, but that's, I don't know, sir. You see, you, like Don, was down here, we used to talk a little bit, and I told Faye. She said, well, he ought to do some of this reading. I said, the hell he should. Anybody who is sensitive to as many things as he is and just adjusts, you know, just all the time, he don't need to do anything. Why, he might come down here and read with me and it just so I'm out of gear.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it wouldn't hurt for him to read alone, but not much.
Uh-huh.
You know, just listen to me, just like you read the paper, but not enough to, because he's found his direction, and it's too useful, and so few people can do all those things he does. You don't, he don't need to do something else. It's too useful what he's doing, and what I'm doing is not useful. I don't get anywhere with it, you see.
Wouldn't say that at all, but everybody's got bents in different directions. That's the difference.
Well, I know, but no, he lives a much more useful life than I do.
Well,
you going to open a package too?
Yeah. Let's go open a package too.
Francis, let me tell you now. There is nothing so satisfying. You haven't got that, or else you wouldn't say what you did a while ago. There's nothing so satisfying as to see someone take hold of a subject and report on it, the experience. Report on his experience. There's nothing so satisfying. You talk about illumination and you talk about something to hold on to and satisfying. I don't know anything that is so satisfying.
Well,
Now, well, Ishmael does, yes. But the best case I know is Marlowe in those Conrad stories. In two or three of those Conrad stories. And you see, Conrad has that great feeling himself. And they just sit on the deck, and he relates all these experiences. And he has control. And he's artist enough, you see, to handle a vast amount of information. Now, see, Cook's not an artist in the sense that he handles very much information. But it's the same thing. And it's not just Cookie, but it's all these people I talk to. Miss Daisy. Now, she's not as venturesome.
I'd say this too, guys, that being here like we have been, it stirs our imaginations and our memories, and we think up a lot of things that had just been laying dormant for a long, long time.
Uh-huh.
And everyone would be a better conversationalist if you went through some of these experiences.
But you can't have a conversationalist unless you have a listener.
That's right.
Yes. You can't talk unless somebody listens.
That's right.
And you can't talk if they make you nervous. And you got to give. And the listener is as much a part of the
company. Oh, I've learned that he's the most important part.
Yeah.
That's one of the hardest things in the world to do is to be a good listener.
Yeah. Saying a thing.